Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
And welcome to our program. And it's a happy day because this is the last day we're going to talk about literature. I know a lot of our students don't particularly like to talk about literature, but some students do. And, of course, literature is, interesting if you spend some time and sit down with a book and try to read it and not be distracted by the internet so much. And you might want to consider reading The Odyssey, which we've been talking about for the past couple of days.
Or if you don't want to read The Odyssey, you might check out one of the films that deal with the Trojan War, which was always exciting. I think those are great. I can totally recommend that. So we're going to talk about some of the themes, some of the messages, the ideas in The Odyssey because, you know, it's really a huge classical piece of literature. So you should at least know the story behind it. I mean, in case someone starts talking about it or using it as maybe a comparison for something else, maybe at work, I don't know. So if you want to feel like you're educated or your education is well-rounded, you might want to check out this particular piece of classic literature. Right now we're going to read through day three of our literature unit, and then we'll be back to talk about some of these terms, some of these phrases.
A number of themes are woven into the Odyssey. One of these concerns the main attributes of Odysseus himself, his cunning, and how he employs it in preference to brute force. In the poem, he explains how the combined power of the Greeks couldn't take Troy, yet thanks to his wooden horse ploy, the city fell. Odysseus also demonstrates his cunning by overcoming Polyphemus, using his brain to beat the Cyclops' brawn. In addition, his resourcefulness aids him in his final battle against the suitors. Though outnumbered, Odysseus and his friends manipulate events so they have the advantage. The goddess Athena also aids them in this fight, as she is Odysseus's patron and shows him special favor. The actions of the gods play a significant role in the Odyssey. Poseidon's curse causes Odysseus untold problems, while Hermes helps him overcome Circe's witchcraft. The power of the gods represents the things in life that we can't control and also provides a moral lesson. If men and women follow the gods' laws and make sacrifices to them, things will turn out well, but if they do not, they will be severely punished. Two other key concepts of the Odyssey are home and fidelity. Odysseus's yearning for home drives him onward. The joy he feels when meeting old friends and returning to his palace is also plain to see. However, having been away for so long, he is concerned about their loyalty, particularly that of Penelope. The poem contains numerous scenes where Odysseus, often in disguise, tests others with questions to ensure they have not betrayed him. Only when he's certain of them can he feel truly at home.
So let's talk about some of the themes in the Odyssey. It says here in the first sentence, a number of themes, several, more than two at least, are woven into the Odyssey. Woven is the past tense or past participle of weave. The verb weave means to take different threads and then cross them over each other. And as you weave, you usually end up with something like a rug or a blanket, something like that, maybe a beautiful cloth. If you have really fine silk threads, you can weave those together. So a number of these themes are woven into the Odyssey. We'll often use that in not a literal sense, you know, talking about threads and yarn or silk like that. But we'll talk about how different things have become part of our life, you know. You know, life's tapestry. A tapestry is a wall hanging, and it's usually beautiful pictures that are put together by woven threads. So, yeah, so themes are in and out. They mix together. They cross over each other into this book called The Odyssey.
Absolutely. And here in the next sentence, it says, one of these concerns the main attributes of Odysseus himself, his cunning, and how he employs it in preference to brute force. So we're talking about the attributes of Odysseus. Attribute in this meaning here, in this sense here, means his qualities, his features, one of his attributes. Don't confuse this with the verb attribute. To attribute something to something, that just means you say something is the cause of something. But here, attributes, as a noun, refers to his qualities, his characteristics, etc., things in his personality. And one of them, one of these attributes, one of these qualities, is his cunning. Cunning means you have special mental skills. You can think of some plans. You're smart. You can use different kinds of plans or strategies to accomplish your goal as opposed to using brute force. So indeed, he employs his cunning, his intelligence, in preference to brute force. Here, preference just means the thing that you prefer, the thing that you would rather have, the thing that you would rather use. So he has a preference for cunning over brute force. He'd rather use his mind than his strong body.
Except he does use his brute force at the end to kill all his wife's suitors. Remember that. So he kind of has both. It sounds like he has the brains and the brawn both. We kind of use those two words together because they're both B, brains, you're smart, brawn, you got the muscles. So, yeah, it's kind of fun. So he does use his brains, though, because he's kind of cunning. Cunning isn't always positive. If I see that word cunning, I sometimes think of someone who's very intelligent, but who is perhaps trying to trick somebody else and trying to fool someone who's not quite as intelligent. So be careful with that word. It's not always positive. Now, in the poem, I called this a book earlier. It's actually a poem, a very long poem. That's why it's an epic. In the poem, he explains how the combined power of the Greeks couldn't take Troy. The Greeks at that point in history were very powerful. But even then, they couldn't overcome Troy. They couldn't take the city. They couldn't use that strength to take control. Yet, thanks to his wooden horse ploy or trick, ploy is another word for trick, just so you know, the city fell. So even though they didn't have maybe as many soldiers and they couldn't fight their way to take control of the city of Troy, they used their brains and they tricked the people of Troy into letting them in and giving them control.
I still don't see how that's possible. They shouldn't have been that stupid to say, what's this horse doing here? But of course, it's a legendary story.
Come
so they
on.
Had to, yes, they had to rely on cunning. They needed to rely on this special trick or this special ploy. And the city fell and the Greeks won, despite the fact that they were outnumbered. Or at least they had all that force, but they still couldn't take Troy. But in any case, Odysseus also demonstrates his cunning, his intelligence, by overcoming Polyphemus, which, of course, was the big Cyclops, the big monster with the one eye. And he was using his brain to beat the Cyclops' brawn. So brains and brawn, we often hear that. It's better to have brains than brawn, some people say. Brawn just means physical strength, okay? The Cyclops was big, it was strong, it was brutal, it was very difficult to defeat in a straight fight. So, of course, the only way to beat the Cyclops is to use your mind. You've got to trick the Cyclops somehow. You've got to use a ploy or cunning, and that's what he did. He used his brain to beat the Cyclops' brawn.
Well, in addition to that, his resourcefulness, if you're resourceful, guys, you use things around you to help you in whatever you're trying to accomplish. There was a show on TV in America called MacGyver, and this guy could use anything like a little piece of thread or maybe a nail or whatever was just in his vicinity, just around him close by. He could use it to escape from a bad situation. He was amazing. We all love that show because he was always so resourceful. Be resourceful. Sometimes you don't have as much talent or intelligence as you'd like, but if you're resourceful, you use help from other people around you, or you use whatever you can to help you accomplish what you want. So he used his resourcefulness to help or aid him in his final battle against his wife's suitors. Remember, Penelope was probably really quite beautiful, and she had a lot of guys chasing her. So when her husband finally came back home, he decided he was going to kill the suitors instead of just asking them kindly to leave his beautiful wife alone. Though outnumbered, if you're outnumbered, guys, it means there are more on the side of the enemy than you have with you. So it's very hard to win if your side is outnumbered. So you try not to be outnumbered, to be more than the other side. He was outnumbered. There were more of than there was Odysseus and his friends, but they managed to manipulate or use events in a way that gave them the advantage and also gave them the win in the end.
During the American Civil War, of course, the South were often outnumbered in battles, but they still won through ingenuity, through General Lee and stuff like that.
I think through passion. I think they really felt strongly about their South, you know, and their way of life, although they were wrong.
Yeah, well, the North, I guess, were kind of like, oh, do we really have to fight these guys?
Come on.
But the South had the spirit there. I suppose you could say the same thing about the Vietnamese during the Vietnamese War. Even though they were outnumbered, they still won because they had the passion. And indeed, Odysseus was outnumbered, but they manipulated events, which means they used the events to their advantage. They figured out ways to defeat the suitors. And they were able to kill them all, and Odysseus could go back into the loving arms of his awaiting wife.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on now to the next paragraph. Well, in just a couple of seconds we'll do that. But first, we're going to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是文学单元的第三天课程。今天的文章介绍史诗 Odyssey 所要探讨的几个主题。文章的第一段提到 Odysseus 偏好用智慧而不是用武力来解决问题。我们看到第一段的第二句 One of these concerns the main attributes of Odysseus himself, his cunning and how he employs it in preference to brute force. 其中一个主题与奥德修斯他自己重要的特质有关，他的狡诈以及他如何利用他而非利用蛮力。Preference 是偏好、偏爱的意思。片语 in preference to 是更喜欢、优先于，也有 rather than 而不是的意思。例如 When you are writing an essay, you should use formal words and phrases in preference to slang. 当你在写论文的时候，你应该用正式的字或片语，而不是俚语。另外，要表示偏好某事物，我们可以说Have a preference for something. 例如 When it comes to beverages, my father has a preference for black coffee. 提到饮料，我爸爸偏爱黑咖啡。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're talking about some of the themes that are found in the poem, the epic poem, the Odyssey. So we talked about how there are a number of themes woven together into the Odyssey. And one of the things that you see is that Odysseus, even though he was very strong and powerful, he was also quite intelligent, and he used his brains to get himself out of bad situations. He didn't just try to fight his way out of something, right, and use his big muscles or his brute force. When I see those two words, brute force, I think of actors like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Mm. He's, you know, he's a big guy, he's very tall, and he's got lots of muscles. But he's also pretty funny in some of his movies. So he uses his sense of humor and his muscles to outwit the enemy or whoever he's fighting against in the movie. Here, we know that from what we see in the Odyssey that Odysseus really had it both. You know, usually someone either is muscly and strong physically, or they're smart. If you have both together, you're going to be a champion in this life.
Although it still is possible to beat someone with brawn with your brains.
Yeah.
But again, it's still better to have both. But in any case, so let's talk about the goddess Athena, okay? This is a female god, a goddess, and she aids them or helps them in this fight as she is Odysseus's patron and shows him special favors. So here we've got the word patron. A patron is somebody who supports someone. You could have a patron if you are a musician, for example. That person will support you financially because they believe in your future. They think you have potential, so that person will be your patron. So here, Athena is Odysseus's patron. She supports him, she helps him, and therefore she gives him special favors or shows him special favor.
The actions of the gods play a significant role in the Odyssey. Remember, this is mythology, and these are not just mere humans, they're gods, and they have special powers and gifts. So you're going to see some of these gods and how they play an important role or part in the Odyssey. Poseidon, his curse causes Odysseus untold problems. Untold means we're going to tell you about some of the problems, but hey, we don't have enough time to tell you all the problems. While Hermes helps him overcome Circe's witchcraft. So if you're a practicing wizard or witch, that those things, those actions that you do, they're called witchcraft. We see that word used today because even in today's modern world, there are people who practice witchcraft, you know, who try to place spells on people and practice black magic sometimes, too.
That can happen. Mm. Okay, so we've got the witchcraft going on. Poseidon's curse, of course, he didn't like the fact that Odysseus harmed his son, and Hermes helps him overcome that witchcraft. And the power of the gods represents the things in life that we can't control and also provides a moral lesson. So, yes, indeed, we do know that in life there are things we can't control.
True.
Although we try to control things, we never know when a typhoon is going to come. We never really know if we're going to get some horrible diseases. Even if we have a nice diet and we exercise a lot, we might still get really sick. Those are things that we just can't control. And so this provides a moral lesson, okay? If men and women follow the gods' laws and make sacrifices to them, things will turn out well. So yes, indeed, recognize that the gods are more powerful than you, so you need to respect the gods and you need to make sacrifices to them. A sacrifice is something that you give up. People make sacrifices perhaps in temples here in Taiwan by going down there and offering fruit or other things. Those are sometimes referred to as sacrifices, things you're giving up for the gods there so that they'll protect you or something like that. So if you make sacrifices to the gods, hey, things will go well for you. But if you don't make sacrifices to them, or if you don't show respect or pray to them, you will be severely punished.
No.
Severely means extremely. You'll be really punished. You will be made to suffer.
Yeah, severely here is the adverb form. We often will talk about how someone's injuries were severe or really bad. So, yeah, it's best to make sacrifices so that you'll get a little bit of protection from the gods. Now, moving on to the final paragraph, it says two other key concepts of the Odyssey are home. We can all relate to that, right? And fidelity. Fidelity is a word that means faithfulness to a person or a belief, maybe faithfulness to a religion that you follow or a cause. Maybe you're really into environmental protection, and so you're very devoted and faithful to that. You spend a lot of time working towards that. Well, let's take a look at home first. Odysseus's yearning for home drives him onward. If you yearn for something, guys, yearning here is a verb ing, or as we call it in English grammar, it's a gerund. So it's a verb with an ing, turns it into a noun. If you yearn for something, oh, you want something so badly, oh, you'll do just about anything for that thing. So it's an intense longing for something that you want. Maybe you have a yearning to become a very famous pop singer. Maybe you have a yearning to see your dad again, but your dad has passed away. There are just these really strong feelings that you have that you want. That's a yearning. And that yearning for home, he wants to get back to his wife and son. They drive him onward. They keep him moving forward to accomplish his goal. Now, the joy he feels when meeting old friends and returning to his palace is also plain to see. How nice for him that he has a palace to go home to. I think that would keep me away from, you know, traveling on these long, epic journeys. So maybe he learned his lesson after being gone for 10 years. Maybe he'll stay put, stay home.
So he's happy to be back home. Yeah. There's all his old buddies waiting for him. And there's his palace. My goodness, I can get a good night's sleep now. I don't have to sleep outside on the ground or something like that. I've got a nice bed. I've got servants. I've got a swimming pool. I've got a jacuzzi.
Nice.
I've got a sauna. I've got a massage room and stuff like that. An exercise room, a stair climber, etc. I've got all that kind of stuff. Or stair master, I should say. But in any case, however, having been away for so long, he is concerned about their loyalty, particularly that of Penelope. So he's thinking, yes, I've been away for many, many years. Maybe these people aren't so loyal to me anymore. So loyalty is a noun here. It just refers to when people are loyal to you. In other words, they continue to be your friend. They continue to support you. They will not betray you or they won't sell you out.
He actually isn't quite sure if he trusts his wife, so he tests her, little stinker. The poem contains numerous scenes where Odysseus, often in disguise, so he puts on a costume so she can't see that it's really her husband standing in front of her. He disguises himself, and he tests others with questions to ensure they have not betrayed him. Maybe he dresses up like a pretend suitor and tries to see if Penelope will be faithful to her husband or, you know, if she'll kind of flirt with him in disguise. So if you're in disguise, notice we're using in disguise. We often will use that preposition. He is in disguise, or he's disguised, you could say. You're dressed up. You're wearing clothes that are not usually your own. Maybe you have a hat on, glasses, maybe a fake beard if you're a guy. Something that kind of changes your normal look so people can't see immediately that it's you.
Yeah, in Shakespeare plays, people are often in disguise.
True.
As well. They're pretending to be other people to accomplish certain goals and stuff. So in this particular case, he's in disguise to test them to see if they're loyal and if they have not betrayed him. To
right.
betray, again, means to let someone down. You've disappointed them. And only when he's certain of them can he feel truly at home. So he tests them all. They all pass the tests with flying colors, and he can take off the disguise and go, ta-da, it's really me. Oh, wow, this is your home. And again, they can live happily ever after. Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
文章第二段提到史诗 Odyssey 的另一个主题就是神话故事中的神明扮演了重要的角色。我们看到第二段的倒数第二句。The power of the gods represents the things in life that we can control, and also provides a moral lesson. 诸神的力量象征生命中我们无法控制的事物，同时也提供一个道德教训。Represent 有象征的意思，相当于 symbolize, symbolize. 例如 ,the color red represents good luck and prosperity in Chinese culture.红色在中国文化中象征好运和繁荣。Represent 也有代表的意思，就相当于 on behalf of。Behalf, B-E-H-A-L-F。例如 ,Sarah will represent her school in a national speech contest. 莎拉将代表她的学校参加全国演讲比赛。这句也可以改成Sarah will participate in a national speech contest on behalf of her school. 另外 ,representative, R-E-P-R-E-S-E-N-T-A-T-I-V-E, 可做形容词用,意思是典型的,代表性的。 A be representative of B 就是指 A 是 B 的典型 ,A 代表 B, 相当于 A be typical of B。例如 ,These oil paintings are representative of 20th century art. 这些油画是西元20世纪艺术的代表。Representative 当名词时是代表人的意思。例如 ,Our company sent a sales representative to join the meeting.我们公司派一位销售代表来参加这场会议。文章的最后一段提到史诗 Odyssey 的另一个关键主题就是 Fidelity, 忠诚、忠贞。Odysseus 回到他的王国后就一直测试着他的朋友，尤其是他的妻子，是否还对他忠诚。我们看到这一段的第二句 Odysseus's yearning for home drives him onward. 奥德修斯对家的渴望驱策他向前进。名词 yearning 是指 a strong desire, 意思是强烈的欲望，相当于 longing, L-O-N-G-I-N-G。动词是 yearn, Y-E-A-R-N, 相当于 long, L-O-N-G。要表示对某事物有强烈的欲望，我们可以说 have a yearning or longing for something, or to do something, 或是Yearn or long for something, or to do something. 例如 Ever since Mark was an elementary school student, he has yearned to become an astronaut. 马克从小学时就一直想当太空人。我们接着看到这一段的第四句。However, having been away for so long, he is concerned about their loyalty, particularly that of Penelope. 然而离家多年让奥德修斯对他们的忠诚感到忧虑，特别是潘尼洛毕的忠诚。只是代名词 that 代替前面提过的单数名词，本句的 that 就是代替前面提到的 the loyalty。 如果是代替前面提过的复数名词，则是用 those T-H-O-S-E。 例如 In our class, the girls' grades are better than those of the boys.在我们班上，女生的成绩比男生的好。我们接着看到全文的最后一句 Only when he's certain of them can he feel truly at home. 只有在奥德修斯对他们没有怀疑的时候，他才能真正感到闲适自在。Only 后面如果接副词，例如 then 或 later, 副词子句，例如 when 或是 after, 或是介系词片语 by 加 ving,可将 only 及其后所接的字词移到句首，然后接 be 动词或助动词，再接主词和动词形成倒装句。例如 Only by working hard can you get promoted. 只有努力工作，你才可以获得升迁。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today, and it brings us to the end of our literature unit for this month. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope we have inspired you to read the Odyssey yourself. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.
Bye.